Hey there, welcome back. Today I get to interview Jason Harris. He is the co-founder and the CEO of the award-winning creative advertising agency called Mechanism. And they've worked with some pretty incredible brands such as like Peloton, Ben & Jerry, like you name it. He's been doing some pretty amazing things. And we had such a great conversation. We get into a lot of different things, whether it's persuasion and how his advertising and marketing and how you can be having that come across these four core principles. He also has a marketing podcast. We share more details at the end that I think you are going to want to check out. He is interviewing the CMOs of some big name companies like GE, and just, it's crazy. His methods are studied in cases at Harvard Business School. This is definitely an episode you are going to want to check out. Get your pen and paper ready and enjoy. Business doesn't have to be as hard as you're making it. It's all about mastering a few key techniques, systems, and mindset. Welcome to Well-Oiled Operations. With over 2 million downloads, it's the go-to podcast dedicated to helping you increase your profit margins while getting your time back. I'm your host, Stacey Tuschel. I've been an entrepreneur for over 20 years, and I own multiple seven-figure businesses. Whether you're a brick and mortar or an online business owner, it doesn't matter. I've got both, and I'll show you my framework to get you more customers in the door, more profit in your pocket, and more happiness in your home. It's time to get your business less reliant on you. Jason, welcome to the show. So excited to have you today.
Thanks for having me. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun conversation. Before we jump right in and I start picking your brain and asking you questions, I would love for you to share a little bit about your background, your entrepreneurial journey, and then we'll go from there.
Sure. Yeah, I'm a advertising exec. I run a 200 plus person agency called Mechanism. It's with a K, M-E-K-A-N-I-S-M. Wrote a book fairly recently. Kind of all about persuasion and what I learned in starting my own business and how I see, you know, it's really a personal journey, but it's a book that I think can help people in the business world and in their personal life. And so that was a real passion of mine to kind of get my entrepreneurial experience out into the world through the book. And I have always been into advertising. I was one of those people that knew what they wanted to do since they were a teenager. And I went out and did it and worked at a lot of other famous agencies in LA and London and different places, kind of gobbling up knowledge and what I knew I wanted to start my own thing, but I wanted to work for other people and see what I liked and didn't like about the cultures I was in and keep track of that. And then I started the agency about 15 years ago with three other founders. Okay. And we've been going ever since. And so I have a very uniquely straightforward journey. I know a lot of people sort of find themselves and they're not sure what their passion points are and they kind of end up finding it to get on their entrepreneurial journey. But for me, it was, I kind of early on knew what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I still like it, which is weird.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. So it's interesting too, because when you say you worked for a lot of other people first to figure out what you liked and didn't like, I actually started my first business right out of high school and I've never worked for anybody. And I do see the pros and the cons with that. I mean, getting to work for somebody and seeing how it's run and how you could do it. I've been winging things and then trying to outdo myself. Whereas getting to have that experience of working for other people and really going, okay, how do I want to fix this, changes, et cetera. So it's interesting. We've had very different journeys. And like I said, yes, pros and cons to both.
Are you telling me you've never had a boss?
I mean, besides like McDonald's and like bartending. Sure, yeah. I mean, but I've never had like a real like 9-to-5 job.
That is highly unusual. Very impressive. What do you think would happen by your story? What would happen if you did have a boss?
I would be fired. How would that go? I would be fired so fast. Yeah. I mean, there was a reason why it never happened. Let's just say that for sure.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. So I love this. So, what made you decide after doing this in this industry for so long, what made you decide, okay, this is the book I want to write this. And now is the time to write this.
Well, I had been thinking about, a book for a long time. And I had several different ideas. I pretty much read I only read like autobiographies and business books. That's pretty much my wheelhouse. I don't know, that's a little boring, but that's what I really love, learning people's experiences and things that actually happen in the real world. You know, I can catch my my fiction on TV or movies, but that's what I'm an avid reader of business books. And I was formulating one from my experience, and I saw this Gallup poll that really had the most dishonest professions in, I talk about it in the book, but the three most dishonest professions in America. And it was number one was Congressperson.
Yeah.
Then it was a used car salesperson. And then it was advertising practitioner.
Wow.
So it really struck me as people do not trust, you know, they might watch Mad Men and think they have an idea of the advertising business, but they really don't trust what I've really honed my career at and done for a living and built a business around. And so that was sort of one thing that motivated me. And then looking back, I had created, you know, when I started the company, we created values for the company and cultures for the company. And a lot of that learning came from cultures that I worked in that were either fear-based or created, you know, if you don't come in on Saturday, don't come in on Sunday. And those cultures, you know, is not something I wanted to replicate, or other cultures where maybe I had a great leader who was super transparent. So I when we started the company, we wrote down our values and how we were going to bring the company to life. And those values still hold today. And we talk about those values with our clients. Every company meeting, we reiterate the values. They are in books that new employees get. They're part of the onboarding process. It's how we do performance reviews. So those values are really important. And then I realized both as a person and as a professional, there is sort of a code of values that I live by and built my career in. And it is not obviously from the Gallup poll about being dishonest or being transactional or trying to sell something to someone that they don't need. And so I put those values into a book for real personal growth and business growth. And that kind of spurred me to end up writing the book that I wrote. And there's a lot of stories in there about, you know, cultural icons, stories related to failures I've had in my business where I've done things wrong and things that I had to learn. And so that's really what the book's about.
I love that. How did you and your founders know each other or meet? Like, I know partnerships can be really difficult. So how did you decide to do this with others involved?
That is a great question that no one's ever asked me. I know, it's true. I started a company tangential to advertising. I started a production company prior to the advertising agency. And I was a solopreneur. I did it on my own. And I got really, I don't know if you can relate to this, but coming up with the ideas, producing it, pitching the clients, doing the invoicing, I was doing it all by myself. And after about a year of that, I felt like I was gonna have a nervous breakdown because it was so hard to keep up and do it all yourself. But I thought naively that in starting a business and being an entrepreneur, which is a fancy name, that is the grind. You know, you do it yourself, and you grind through it, and it's painful. Then I realized, well, I can take what I know from this business. And I had hired some of the people that I founded the company with. We had worked on other projects together, so I knew them in the business world. And I realized, oh, we could combine forces and share the load, and we had different strengths, and it could be more of the super friends than Superman.
Yeah.
And it worked so much better for longevity than trying to do it on my own. And so I tried to do it on my own first. And some people are really successful with that. And maybe it depends on what type of business, but a service-based business is really, really hard to try to do everything yourself. Mm-hmm. And I burned out really quickly on it.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I think the key with partnerships, especially, is just like you said, you all have very different strengths. Yeah. When two people are visionaries and they want to do the same thing, I see it crumble all of the time. So I think that's really, really important if anybody's listening to that.
Yes, you have to. That is a great point. You have to have complementary skills. If you have the same mm-hmm. skills, there's a lot of ego mm-hmm. and a lot of crossover, and yeah. someone has to make decisions, and you have to have a lane. There can be crossover, but there has to be specific lanes in a partnership to make it work and stand the test of time. Yeah.
What is your lane?
I do a lot of getting the business mm-hmm. and marketing on behalf of the company.
Okay.
That's really sort of my focus. That's what I really focus on. Yeah.
And when you were the solopreneur, is that what you naturally liked to do? Is that kind of where you were heading? Or, I mean, you were doing all the things, but was that more of your sweet spot?
Yeah, that was more of what I always naturally gravitated towards. And, you know, the balance sheet and the financial side was not, and the, running the projects. I love working on projects, but I like to start things and then hand them off and then start something new and hand it off. Yes. And so I had to learn that the hard way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And there's a lot of us, I think a lot of people listening to me included, it's like, we're great starters. So if you don't find that finisher to complement, you've got a lot of just undone projects and you're wondering why you're not getting results.
It's so true. And some people hate starting things, yes. but they love picking things up that are in motion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And some people love being the operator or doing operations, mm-hmm. being behind the scenes. So you really have to find those complementary players mm-hmm. In order for it to work. And that's absolutely true. And I think you have to really know your blind spots, and you have to either determine if you're going to fix the blind spots or bring in someone else to cover your blind spots. Mm-hmm. But you have to really identify what those are and not fool yourself that you're going to be, you know, jack of all trades or Jill of all trades, because it is, you know, it's taking your time away from maybe a natural skill that you have. Mm-hmm. Not that people can't learn to be better or to have those skills, but there are people that have better natural instincts and skills in areas that you aren't good at.
Yeah. So good. Yeah. You mentioned autobiographies. First of all, that made me go, oh, I'm only really, really reading business books. And then like, maybe more like the self-help mindset, that kind of stuff. But I'm like, oh, I should maybe be adding that to my list. I want to know, what have been a couple that have really inspired you? Or is there anybody that you've read the book and you've gone, okay, this is how I want to run my business. This is how I want to run my life. I'm curious.
Well, yeah. So it's interesting because the autobiographies I read aren't business autobiographies.
Oh,
yeah, okay. I know. I kind of made it sound like they were.
Yeah.
I was assuming
it was like these great, you know, businessmen of all time. And then you were reading there.
Yeah. Like Lee Iacocca.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
No, I read like, you know, Bruce Springsteen, Born to Run, okay. his biography, a lot of musicians, or celebrities, I'll read like Muhammad Ali or Abraham Lincoln.
But those are still very high performers. So
that's true. That's true.
Like I would think you would be still like learning characteristics and skill sets and things they had that you would use in your business.
That's true. And I am an avid journal writer. So every time I'm reading something, I always try to grab the cliff notes of what I learned and put it down and see how I can apply it. So that's absolutely true. And then the business books I read are probably similar to the books that you read.
Yeah.
Which are, you know, personal growth mixed mm-hmm. with business growth. I love those books. I don't know why, but
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Amazing. Okay, cool. Great. So persuasion, and with your book, you talk about these four core principles. Can you touch on them briefly?
Yes, sure. And so I think persuasion has, it's kind of a dirty word, mm-hmm. you know, which is why the title of the book has soulful and persuasion in it, because they kind of balance each other out. But I really wanted to kind of take that word back, because whether we like it or not, and you could say selling is the same thing. We are all persuading all day long. Mm-hmm. We're persuading, you know, if you're working for someone, you're persuading your boss to give you a promotion. You're persuading your customers to go to your retail store or go through the door or go to your website to buy your product. You're persuading your, you know, significant other to take the trip you want to take. So we're always persuading whether we like it or not. That's just natural in life. And that's part of what we have to do. But I think there's a way to persuade. And so I look at advertising as almost the top of the pyramid of persuasion, because we are persuading, we're coming up with ideas. We're persuading the client to buy those ideas and that this is what your brand or company would stand for. And then we'll translate that into sales or brand affinity or brand awareness. And that can be measured. But we have to convince, you know, internally, you got to come up with the idea and everyone has to rally around it. Then you have to persuade the client to buy the idea. Then you have to persuade the customer that this brand or this product or service is right for them. So I like that, at like the kind of very top of the pyramid of persuasion. And it's really what our career is in advertising. And so the core principles underneath persuasion that I believe is sort of a roadmap, whether you're a person or a brand. Mm-hmm. And I write about it in the same way. And the building block is persuasive people are original and they are themselves. And, you know, the Oscar Wilde quote of the idea that be yourself, everyone else is taken, I think is true. And so that idea of being original and leaning into who you are and your stories and being authentic and being transparent, not trying to be somebody else, not trying to have your personal life, you represent this person, and then your business life, you represent this person. And then in your, I don't know, dating life, you're this other person. Mm-hmm. But really always being yourself is foundational. That applies to brands too. You know, brands need to act more like people. They need to be really transparent, really clear on who they are. And I think people showing their idiosyncrasies and their quirks and what attracts them, what their passion points are, that's really important. And that allows for vulnerability. It allows you to open up to other people and connect with other people. So the first one's original. Mm-hmm. Second one is generous, which is creating a habit or a practice of generosity. That could be advice, opportunities, respect, connections, even things sometimes, but having a generous spirit. And that's something I really had to learn over time. I wasn't born that way at all. Yeah. The third is empathetic, which is having a curiosity about other people and really trying to engage past small talk and really connect with people. I'm sure like what you do on your podcast here, but it's about diving deep and understanding other people and their perspective, and then realizing that we are all very similar at the core for the most part. So original, generous, empathetic, and then the last one is soulful. And persuasive people that have to be soulful, where they hold themselves to a standard and they strive to do something that is better or beyond themselves. They're trying to give back and leave the world a little bit better than they found it. And I think when you are soulful, you become more inspirational to other people, and therefore you become more persuasive. So those four tenets, I believe, apply to people as brands and brands trying to act more human.
Yeah, so good. So going back to, being original.
Yeah.
I 100% agree with everything you said, but I know somebody is listening thinking, but my business isn't as good as this person's, or they're looking at somebody bigger, a bigger brand, a bigger personal brand, and they're trying to model, which is just making them a clone, probably a not as good of clone as that other person. What do you say to somebody if you're working with somebody in your agency and you can tell they're trying to model almost too much somebody else? Like, how do they find that originality?
Yeah, I like that. It's a good question, because we do learn by modeling behavior, right?
Right.
And businesses do learn by looking at other successful businesses. Mm-hmm. And I think all of us, you know, brand you're building or personal, we all have a unique feature, something that's different, a new angle. And you really have to find that. And then that is the thing that you communicate. That's the thing that you talk about.
Yep.
And so you have to really look hard for it. And if you're, you know, trying to copy someone who's first, you're never going to get anywhere. If you're inspired by someone who's first and you do something slightly different, then you have a story to tell and you have something that's unique. So you should always try to find that unique piece of it, mm-hmm. for sure. And then as it comes to people, part of being original and what we do in advertising and what brands do is you have to be a good storyteller. You have to understand what makes you you. You have to have stories from your life or stories from role models that you follow or whatever you consume that resonates with you. You need to be able to tell those stories to communicate who you are and what makes you you. Mm-hmm. It's not enough just to say, all right, I'm going to be myself.
Right.
That's it. What makes you, what are your values? What makes you unique? How do you communicate that uniqueness to people, whether you're a brand or a person, you know, in a company or building your own brand? That's really important, is not just to act original and understand it. You have to be able to communicate it.
Yeah.
To be so able good. To tell stories. Yeah.
No, I love that. Okay. So I should say storytelling. So I'm a big believer in outsourcing as well. So if somebody comes to you and they're like, okay, here's what I want to do. How do we hire this copywriter, hire somebody like you, and transfer those stories to them without us having to be posting on social media ourselves? Do you see what I'm saying? I want to make sure people are not thinking, I have to post on social every day. I have to do this. Like, I specifically, they can hire copywriters, agencies, et cetera.
So like for a person or a brand, right? If you're building your personal brand and you don't have time to get your social capital going, you know, your network going, you want someone to do that on your behalf. I'm all in favor of that because we'll do that for brands that will outsource that and not do it in-house all the time.
How do you pull those stories out of your brands to make sure you can write them?
You have to, it takes a lot of research and insights, and you have to really understand the strategy behind the brand, what the brand cares about, and get that tone of voice down. And that's a period that starts before you even start writing anything. You know, you can't just jump in and start writing for a brand. You've got to do that strategy, positioning, the work, the exercises. And then once you get it down, you can do it. Like if someone was going to work on your social, like let's say you had someone that was trusted and they were doing it for a while, then they left. Someone new is not going to come in and understand the Stacy story and what makes you tick, and that you would never sound like that voice, and that's not you. And and so that takes that just takes working together and time before they have it down, and then before you know it, they know how you're thinking, and they can be your extension of your voice.
Good.
Okay.
But Jason,
I believe in that. I believe in outsourcing.
Me too. Absolutely.
I believe that if it's transparent and if it's honest and it's your authentic voice, you can extend that with help as long as it resonates.
Right. Well, and even hearing your story in the beginning of the solopreneur, and it just, you were burning out.
Yeah.
A lot of people, when they don't get help, I mean, you chose to grab partners. Yeah. Not everybody does that. They think this isn't for me, so they quit. So the more you can be outsourcing, getting off your plate, bringing on help, the better. So I'm a massive advocate on that. Okay, Jason, this has been such a good conversation. I have really enjoyed it. I would love for you to share, where can people find more about your agency, your book, any social, anything you want to share?
Sure. You can check out more about the book at thesoulfulart.com. The agency is Mekanism, MEKANISM.com. And I am on every platform at @Jason_Harris.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being here. This has been so fun.
All right. Thank you.
Jason, and then let us know what your podcast is. I'm sure our listeners want to go over there too.
Oh, great. Yeah. We just launched a podcast. It's called Soul and Science. And it really is talking with some of the best chief marketing officers in the world and really finding out if marketing lives in the head or the heart and how decisions are made to build brands.
Yeah, amazing. So anybody interested in deep diving into marketing, this is the podcast for you. Thanks, Jason.
Thanks.
And that's a wrap. If you're loving the Well-Oiled Operations podcast, then I know you would love our Well-Oiled Mastery Program. It's a 6-month program for you and your team to help you get the business running like a well-oiled operation. We pull back the curtain and share all of our systems when it comes to marketing, fulfillment, and operations. We guarantee to increase your profit margins while reducing your time by 25% or your money back. Head over to welloiledoperations.com and get your business running like a well-oiled operation today.